Before we do start, I would like to get my throat lubricated with Diet Mountain Dew, best stuff in the planet. But what I'd like to do is, first of all, I know we have you've got a rowdy bunch here. Guys, you might have to turn me up so I don't have to yell. This weekend, of course, is Memorial Day weekend. That's tomorrow. So it's in honor of our fallen vets who have served our country and country well, to the point of even giving their lives up. And I know it's a day that I like us to just consider with honor and respect. Spend a moment, say a prayer for a family that you know. You know, many in our congregation have vets that are still alive, and that we get to honor you on Veterans Day in November, but this is a day we get to honor those who have served our country and served our country well. So I just want to don't forget what it's about. I know that the barbecues are great. Pool parties are fun, but it's about honoring those that have served and served our country well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning, and in this talk, I want it to be a conversation. That means we get to engage. I encourage you to input, ask, and even interrupt me. It doesn't mean I will always answer your question, but I will at least do my best to, if it's in the Lord, to honor what it is. If you have a question, if you have a thought, if the Holy Spirit speaks something in you to bring it up, then please do. I always say this, and you guys know this is to be something that I believe to be 100% about what I like to share, is if you're only hearing the information, the words that come out of my mouth as though that is the information that you're learning, then I think that you're falling short. And I don't mean that in a condemning manner. I mean it, I want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit, to encourage you. I love a good Spirit-filled message because it takes me so many different deep places in my spirit that a lot of times it's just one word or one thought that comes from that the a preacher might say, and it takes me to a whole nother realm. So I encourage you to go with where the Holy Spirit takes you this morning. If it takes you someplace a little bit different, go with it. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Last week I started a kind of a mini series on the mark that Jesus has left, as Jesus left a mark. And of course I love it because it goes back to whenever you get hit by something that's got force to it, an external force, a stronger force that leaves a mark. That and one of the most apparent marks is that when we get hit by something is a bruise. A bruise is something that happens on the inside that has an external impact or an external visual. Basically, you can see it on the outside. So when God the Holy Spirit leaves a mark on the inside, it ought to be noticed on the outside. Hello? That's a good word. That's just a good word. I don't know, just receive that one and say, gosh, Holy Spirit, where have you left a mark on me and in me to where it's making some sort of difference visibly on the outside? Hello? Ask yourself that. I know we started last week because last week was the day that we celebrate Pentecost. And so I started, and of course I didn't finish. And then as I was rehashing this message about the three areas that the Holy Spirit at Pentecost has left a mark. And first of all, it's us personally. He's left a mark in me and in us personally. In my personal walk with God, the Holy Spirit has an impact on me and ought to be having an impact on you. Hello? Hey, I just another quick word. There's something I want you to understand. When Jesus said, or Paul was saying, all the promises of God are yes and amen. You guys know where that's said? It's somewhere in the Bible. But it says that in the Bible somewhere. I think it's in Corinthians or something like that. Is that right? Okay, good. Thank you. It's good to have a Bible scholar, theologian sitting to my left and you to my right. Keep me in check both ways. Actually, you're watching the door to keep, yeah. Do you know what that really is referring to in that yes and amen? The yes is I'm agreeing with the promise that God has given, and the amen is saying I'm actually infusing it or allowing it to be imparted into me. I'm saying yes to the promise and amen, saying yes to what God has said and amen for me. Hello? So it is way okay to say yes and amen. You got to be on board with it, though. You got to say yes to it and an amen to it. So I love a good hearty amen, amen. The other places that it impacts, the Holy Spirit's impact, is the church and the rest of the world. So it's basically us as individuals, the church, the body of Christ, and basically everybody else. So at Pentecost, the impact, the mark that was left, basically changed the world and how we see the world, how the world operates, how the world actually exists today. One of the yes, we could say it's the virgin birth changed the world, absolutely. The death and resurrection of Jesus changed the world, absolutely. The Holy Spirit coming into our midst, filling believers, has impacted, left a mark on the world to this day. It's not optional. Walking with God without the Holy Spirit is not walking with God. God, the Holy Spirit, is God. So I want to talk to us about the church. You know, there's a lot of different ideas that are kind of just floating in the air about attitudes towards church. Sometimes we say things like going to church as though we're going to a place that is the church. I think that's always, you guys know this, that's a kind of a misconstrued understanding of what the church is, who the church is. The church is the body of Christ. We'll even refer to, I've heard people, even Christians, refer to the church as the organized religion. And it's typically, I have a friend right now that, I guess you could call him a friend / acquaintance, that I know that this person knows the Lord. But I also know that this person has given into the conformity of the pattern of this world that says organized religion is not what God intended. So much so that he says, I'll ask him where he's fellowshipping now, and as we're engaging in conversation, because that's one of the first questions I ask when I find out a person is a believer, is where are you fellowshipping? Where are you planted? Where are you plugged in? And where are you doing the work of God as a believer? And it's not to just pry and prod and find out what denomination or flavor they have. It's to encourage that person, because as a pastor, I love people that are engaged in the congregational work. And so I always want to encourage wherever somebody is at to engage deeper, to go farther, to bless the congregation, the body of Christ, more where they're at. And I know I discovered the other day, I'm going with two stories now, so I'm going to try to backtrack with one and tell another one. This kind of stuff goes on in my head a lot, so you should try to keep up with me. I was engaging in a conversation. This is another conversation of another guy. So this guy is a pastor, and we were talking about his grandparents, who are Lincoln Hills residents that I personally know very well, because I visit their home on a regular basis as they donate to the salt mine. And this guy is a pastor of actually one of the bigger churches over on Industrial Road over there. And as I was talking to this pastor, and we were talking about his grandparents, he says, yeah, my dad and I, we kind of talk to them about the Lord to just see where they're at. And, you know, they're just really not interested in the things of God right now. And he said, yeah, it's kind of sometimes gets a little bit dicey during the holidays. And I said, man, I have no problems at all talking to your grandparents about the Lord. In fact, they tell me about you all the time as their grandson that's pastoring this church and blah, blah, blah. And he says, really? Well, that's good to know. And his first thing was, then he said, yeah, they were brought up in the Lutheran denomination, so we're still kind of like, yeah, how do we deal with that? And I said, dude, there's a great Lutheran church right across the street. Tell them to go there. Check it out. It's awesome. They are fantastic people of God. You should try that. Send them there. And he looked at me with this awestruck look like, I never thought of that. I'm serious. That was his exact words was, I never thought of encouraging him, his grandparents, to get involved in something that they would fit in. He goes, yeah, because they come to my church every once in a while, Christmas and Easter, and they always say the music's too loud. It's like, well, then tell them to go somewhere where they're going to fit in. And to him, that just never dawned on him that is okay to do. And it's what we, you know, so it really hit me. It's like, maybe I don't think like everybody else and all the other pastors. I really just want to see people grow in the Lord. You don't have to grow in the Lord here, but you have to get plugged into the body of Christ. I was telling another story, wasn't I? I'm trying to get good at that, to where I don't leave people hanging, and I can't even remember what the story was about. I'll find it somewhere in my brain. What's that?
It's the guy that doesn't believe in organized religion.
Yeah, yeah, and here's where this friend of mine who doesn't believe in organized religion says that he does church every single day with a cup of coffee out on his back patio. And I have to stop, and he says, and that's my relationship with God. And I've had to challenge him, and I said, well, it's not only is it not church, but it's also not a relationship with God. A relationship with God is an actual relationship with God. In other words, it's not just talking at God, it's listening to God. And when you listen to God, whether it's in His Word, through His Word, the Holy Spirit, through the words of Jesus, God the Father, He loves His church. Jesus says He is the head of the body of Christ. The church is the organized body of Christ. He even told Peter what? The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. He has a passion for the organized body of Christ. Hello? Amen, amen. In fact, if Jesus is, you know, Jesus, if Jesus is for something, I want you to know this. This isn't, I don't know if we realize this or not, but the entire Godhead is for it also. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all for the body of Christ and passionate about the gathering of God's people. Jesus even said in one other place, is again, somewhere in the Bible, and Michael will probably tell you where it's at. He said, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Hello? Yeah, you can have intimacy, and you should have intimacy with God personally on your own. Absolutely. 100%. I encourage that. That's why I talked last week about fasting and praying, spending time with God personally, digging into, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God. But gathering together as God's people is where God's power is infused into the organization, the body of Christ. And that's where he says, he even tells us, if you're sick, what do you do? go hide in a corner somewhere, have a cup of coffee with God, and spend time on the porch and see if God will heal you. Is that what he says to do? If you're sick, what does he say to do? Go to the group of people that are a part of your body, the elders, and have them lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. That takes another person. Although I have anointed myself with oil because the Lord told me to do it. But the healing, the prayer of faith will heal you. And I love how he says it. Did somebody say amen to me? Or to what the Lord's amen. And then I love how he says it this. He said, and if there's sin, hey, if there's sin involved, I love this because this is all of us. Jesus got that covered. That's good news. That's good news. Man, I got some good notes this morning. I pray we get into them. So I might just read some of them just to be able to get to them because they are really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I know, huh? Many Christians, especially those of us who have been influenced by, and I talked about it, the individualism of American culture, live as if the church is useful but really unnecessary. We seem to believe that as long as we have a personal relationship with God, everything else is secondary. But see, Pentecost is this impactful, vivid illustration of the truth that is found throughout Scripture, the Bible, that the community of God's people, us, the church, is central to God's work in the world. Hello? That's awesome. Pentecost invites us to just really examine our involvement in the body of Christ. I believe so. God and the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve God in His power as He binds us together as the body of Christ. Awesome. So I'm going to read, this is a great passage of Scripture. It's in the New Living Translation is what I'm going to read it out of. So sorry, Steve. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1 through 12. Listen to this. It says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other." Help each other. Oh, gosh, I love it when God's... you guys remember the story that Jesus told? He said, you know, when his disciples actually... It was. Here's the scenario. I want to paint it for you. The rich man came. I'm going to try to remember where I'm at. A rich man came to Jesus. Said, "Jesus, I what do I do to enter in the kingdom?" Blah blah blah. And he says, "Oh, you got to do all this." He said, "But I've done this. Go sell everything you have. Give it to the poor." Okay. And the guy left. He left because he had lots of wealth and he couldn't do what Jesus asked him to do. And then Jesus made a statement. He said, "I tell you the truth, that it is harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than it is for a camel to go through an eye of a needle." And this isn't an eye of a sewing needle. You guys understand this. Remember this. I know I've taught this before, and I hope we know this, what he's talking about. The eye of the needle is that small gate that's in the city wall that after the large gate, the opening of the gate is closed up, that small gate that is really... for a small man and only a small man can walk through it so that an army or soldiers can't come in flooding into the city wall. Through the city wall, the small gate, if a man, a rich man, is on a camel and has many possessions, therefore he would have a camel that would carry his many possessions. In other words, it's the camel, the gate is so small that the camel needs to be removed. All of the possessions need to be taken off of the camel who's carrying the rich man's possessions. You guys tracking with me? So all of the rich man's possessions must be removed, laid aside, and left outside, and the camel has to actually walk through on its knees to get through the city gate. That's the eye of the needle, okay? And Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. It's not impossible. And then the disciples said, well, then who can be saved? If the rich in this, and Jesus, what did he say? Does anybody know what he says there? All right, I'll tell you what he says. I remember from the top of my head, he says this. He says, with God, all things are possible, but with man, you can't do it. You can't do it on your own, but with God, all things are possible. So in God and with God, anybody and all can be saved, and only in God and with God. Hello? But we must remove that stuff that's hindering us. Do you know what the biggest thing, as I read this, is what sparked this and sprung this on, and I talked about it last week. I talked about my hang-up with the word help and helper. Do you know that in the kingdom of God, almost all of the working, all of your interaction in God's kingdom involves either being helped or helping others. Do you realize that? That's cool. So as I strip myself of the stuff that hinders me, if I lay it aside, I'm actually in the best place that Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near you. Woo! I beat it. Okay, I'm going to move on. That was good for somebody, I know it. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have me share it. Okay, where did I leave off? Here he is. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, no jokes now, guys. Come on. It's a real thing. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The church, the ecclesia, the believing community is us. And that's how it's supposed to work. Amen? Amen. I'm just going to keep going on because this is fantastic stuff. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says this. It says, Now all glory to God, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power to work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Okay. The Lord is saying to do this, and I think there's a purpose behind it. I'm really asking the Lord, Holy Spirit, right now to for direction in this, and I think he's saying to do it. The Holy Spirit gave me a word for the reason I'm going to share it public. I think there's going to be some reasoning behind it that we may not see and understand now, but I think we will, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. The word gave me the word. The Lord. Is Luke in here? Can you get him? It was for Luke. So can you get him for a second? Just for a second. And the reason that I'm going to share it publicly, I think you might see it, and I think it's pretty cool. And it happened to me while I was driving, and I was praying, and I was just praying. I was praying in the Lord, praying in the Spirit, and Luke pops in my head, and I started praying for him. And then the Lord gave me a word for Luke. So Luke, I want you to hear this. And here's the thing I want, and I had to write it down because it was so good. I know it wasn't me, because if it was me, I would have wanted it for me. You'll see what I mean. It says this, and I want you to hear this, because it has to do with us as members of the body of Christ having an impact on the whole body of Christ. It says this, Luke, listen to this. Says, if you trust me with everything, I will bless you financially more than you can ask or imagine. But only in relation to how much you give. But even what you have left over from what you give will be far more than doing it on your own and keeping it for yourself. Trust me, and I will give you, this is so cool, I will give you the wisdom of Solomon in this area of finances. Do not be afraid. And then this is a note from me. This is my words. And I say, stay humble and you won't stumble. Amen? Amen. Yes and amen. You have to say it and you have to agree with it and you have to walk in it. Hallelujah. Amen. Good response, brother. Good response. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit that wanted to speak that to you, for you, but to you and for you, for the glory of God in the body of Christ. And I believe that's why I think that the whole body needed to hear it, because... Yes. Yes and amen. As God pours into this young man, he's really young, be on board with what God is pouring in. Do not be envious. Let God bless him and encourage him to walk steady and humbly before God. Hello? Amen. That's for us, the rest of the body. Oh, that's a good word. Yes, Linda. Amen. Yeah, that is what Linda just shared, is the Christ-like attitude, is to just freely give as you've been freely given to, without the strings attached. The strings attached is like, and Luke said, he's just dealing with it in my own self, and I think every single one of us have dealt with it or still dealing with it at different times and places in our life. Is like, well, they don't really deserve it, or I need this more, or boy, I'll give this, but boy, it better go to what it's supposed to go to. You know, those are all strings that's not a Christ-like attitude, and we get the right attitude by having the right mindset and the right concept about what giving is about. I guess we need to do a whole teaching on that. That's pretty fantastic. So praise the Lord. Yes, sir.
And from the Spirit. But it may not only be just a book.
That was you just stole that from me. you did. I was gonna give you permission to glean from that.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, to receive something in that for you. I believe it. I believe it. And like I said, if I know it wasn't me, because if it were me, I would be saying, "Hey, God, what about me? I want this." You know, He's now I've given you enough to deal with. You don't need more money than you can handle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And it's all going to be for the glory of God. Now I was reading a passage of Scripture, wasn't I? Yeah. Let me go on, because these are some really fantastic notes. I'm telling you, I just think you guys, you ought to read these. They're really good. I know. I have a good time preparing in the Lord a lot. Sometimes it never comes out to the words that I prepared. So let me see. And this is Mike and I. We get together on a regular basis to discuss our. What's the word? There's actually a ministry calling for this word. Dang it. It's the order of service and stuff. What is it?
I'm just going to say it's the order of service.
There's a word for it, and you're not helping me. Never mind.
Liturgy.
Thank you. Thank you. Liturgy. I thought you were smart. I know. My mind is a crazy place. Just a little every now and then. Okay. Sorry, put it away. It's enough. As we discuss these, here's one of the things that the Lord I feel like gave me in this discussion is of worship and messaging and liturgy of our service. This is a neat word from the Holy Spirit. He said this: we must be careful that in our worship of God that I am not at the center of it. If my relationship with God is one way where I do the talking but no listening, it will always have me at the center. It'll sound like this: yay, God for me. I've seen people do it almost. In other words, the phrase "peace on earth and goodwill to me." We forget the end. Men. It was good when it came up in my head. Jesus tells a little story to illustrate this. He spoke a parable about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is in Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself: God, I thank you. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now, this is Jesus telling a parable, and as the Pharisees are listening to this, this was a real conversation that was a part of their conversation. One of the phrases that used to be said amongst the Pharisees was, you could either have six extortioners or a half a dozen publicans. They're both one and the same. So this was something as an extortioner and publicans, they were considered to be one and the same. And then he says, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. You know, that was part of a Pharisee's prayer. Do you know what the three things they prayed for regularly? This was something they were actually taught in the school of Phariseeism, was this, to pray like this. God, I thank you that I am not a Gentile. God, I thank you that I am not a fool. And God, I thank you that I am not a woman. That was what they were taught to pray. Do you guys hear me on that? So as Jesus is talking this parable, he's like really digging into their heart, of hearts, because it's we got to be careful that our worship of God doesn't have me at the center. It's God, I thank you that I. God, I thank you that I. We worship God with me at the center. And I'm going to tell you, Christians, we're just as guilty of it. How are we just as guilty of it? I'm going to tell you about it. Let me finish reading the passage of Scripture. Or even as this tax collector, for I fast twice a week. I give tithes that all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. So, you know, how do we do that? How do we carelessly worship God with me at the center? Say, yay, God, for me. What we did this morning in our worship here, in the congregation, in that corporate worship, as we sang worship together, that was authentic and genuine worship because God was high and lifted up. Jesus was lifted up as the center. It wasn't about all the stuff that he does for me. Yes, we need to thank God for what he does for us. Yes, we need to be thankful, but not in a realm, not in a manner that says, thank you that I am not like. You know one of the worst phrases I think that we could say? Yet by the grace of God, there go I. Do you know why that's one of the... It may sound spiritual and humble, but what are you really doing and saying? Look at me. I got here. And they haven't. Shall I just go on? I'll just leave it at that. This is a really great little scenario I want to paint, because I'll actually be finished really fast. This is cool. I'm actually finishing. I just stuck to my notes, kinda, not really. Luke 15 and Matthew 18 deal directly with the subject of how we consider others in relation to ourselves with God. I'm going to encourage you to just read these entire chapters on your own. Luke chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 18. But I'm going to give you some. footnotes. For me, the Holy Spirit. Luke 15 starts with Jesus addressing the attitude of the Pharisees in regards to Jesus receiving and even having the audacity to eat with sinners. It starts out that way. That's how it starts. So he tells three parables, right? The three parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, we know as the prodigal son. But I want you to hear this. The emphasis of those parables is on you and I who are found to have the right attitude and perspective towards those who aren't found yet. Do you hear that? Now, so you need to read it yourself in a time with God, but I want you to remember that. If you need to write that down, the emphasis is on you having the correct perspective and attitude towards those who aren't found yet. It's not to highlight being found or lost, but it's to highlight the correct perspective and attitude towards others who aren't found yet. In other words, don't lift yourself up so high thinking that you have arrived somewhere, which you haven't, because we are still here. You know, so we are still dealing with a lot of the same issues as everybody else. Hello? Amen. I know I am. I know I am. Oh, man, another treasure from the Holy Spirit. Don't we want to be like Jesus? What if we made it as simple as this? Let's read the Bible, look at how Jesus lived, what he did, what he said, how he interacted, how he related to people. Let's do that. I know that it's not that difficult. We read stuff, listen to stuff all the time. You can listen to the Bible. If you have a hard time reading it, just listen to it. Listen to the Bible, read it, find out how Jesus was. But what if you were just to simply, and this hit me the other day, what if I were just to simply be like Jesus for 1 second? Just 1 second. That doesn't sound that difficult, like impossible. Yes, you can't do it on your own. With man, it's not possible, but with God, all things are possible. So what if we tapped into the God, the Holy Spirit, said, God, help me to be like you for 1 second. You with me? 1 second. What if you then turned the 1 second to 2 seconds? If I could do it for 1 second, I could do it for 2 seconds. What if then I turned the 2 seconds to 4 seconds? If I could do it for two, I could do it for four. What if I just took every second of the day to glorify Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit? That sounds doable. That doesn't sound so daunting to where I just want to give up. Well, I just can't do it. You could do it for 1 second, can you? If you could do it for 1 second, I could tell you, you could do it for two. I'm going to encourage you, you could do it for two. Isn't that what he says isn't that what he meant when Jesus was talking about having weak faith? Little faith, actually. When he talks about having the faith of a mustard seed, it's not in proportion to size, it's in proportion to length. Did you guys know that? Oh, now you do. Faith as a mustard seed is not in proportion to size, but it's in relation to length. In other words, I love what my brother Craig says. What's he say? He just said it this morning. Did you catch what he said? He said, as long as I, he didn't say it exactly like this, but as long as I have breath, I am pushing forward to the prize that God has called me heavenward. I will not stop. That's faith as a mustard seed that moves mountains. I don't give up. So just don't give up for 1 second. And then ask God to make it another second. And why not even a whole darn minute? Oh man, and then it's like maybe 60 minutes. Maybe a whole day. And then even a week. Maybe a month. What about a year of being like Jesus? It's doable. Let me move on and finish up, because this is, I like Matthew 18's rendition of the same attitude that Jesus is really promoting. Matthew 18 starts with a dispute amongst the disciples over who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So then what does Jesus do? He pulls a little child into the conversation. He says, unless you become like a child, in my words, you ain't even getting in. You will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And it's not being childish. Hello? It's being childlike. There is a humongous difference. He's not calling us to be childish, right? But childlike. There's a whole entire, I heard a preacher teach a whole message on that very one subject, and it was a good one. So then Matthew also tells the parable of the 99 sheep in relation to the one. That's also told in Luke 15, the 99 sheep in relation to the one. I believe that we've misconstrued the meaning of that parable to the realm of we worship God with me at the center. It's not about the one. It really isn't about the one. The message that Jesus is teaching in that and emphasizing is the attitude of the 99. It really is about that. The kingdom of heaven at work within you has to deal with you relating to and connecting with those who need Jesus. Just like you still need Jesus. You still need the power of God to be like God. You can't, I can't, no one can do it on their own. Amen. We need Jesus to do it. I know nobody's going to ever say again, "There, but for the grace of God, there go I." I think it just rubs me wrong because I think it's actually elevating us to a place and putting somebody else down to a place. You might say, "Well, I say it right in my heart. I'm really just actually, you know." That's great. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Let me go back to the Matthew 18. And like I said, read the whole chapter in your time. Because Jesus actually takes the disciples to a different place than he took the Pharisees. Jesus took the disciples to the place that I believe needs to be the inner working of the body of Christ. He takes them to the place of forgiveness. And Peter comes to him and says, "Hey, what if, you know, my brother sins against me? How many times am I supposed to forgive him? 7 times? Yeah, 50 times? 100 times? He says, 7 times 70, Peter. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop. Don't ever stop forgiving. And then he tells a parable of what was called the unmerciful servant. The person, the man who received a forgiveness that he could not repay. He was forgiven a debt that he could not repay. Do you hear that? He was forgiven a debt that he could not in his lifetime with his work and sweat and blood and it cost him all of his family, no matter what, he could not repay it. And he was forgiven of it. And then he went out and insisted on somebody paying him just a measly $10. So much so that the man didn't have the $10 and he threw him in prison until he got it from him. And in this parable, Jesus finishes it with, because then it came back on the man and he was actually, then his debt was actually reinstated to him. That sucks. Being forgiven completely, and then because I didn't do what I was supposed to do with that forgiveness as a believer, now it's all placed back on me? My debt that I couldn't repay? And he says it, Jesus says probably one of the hardest words that he's ever said that in the Bible. It said, in the same way, if you fail to forgive, if you choose not to forgive, so my Father in heaven will not forgive you, your trespasses, your debts. That's heavy. Jesus went heavy on these guys. He did not let them off the hook, and he said, this is what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. It's supposed to be full of forgiveness and grace and truth and mercy and kindness and goodness and love and self-control and righteousness, to where we don't put people down. Instead, we lift them up and say, let's go and do this walk in the kingdom of God together, because we need each other. Hello? We need each other. I mean, I don't know about you, but if two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, and he's in the midst of that, I want to get two or more all the time. Everywhere I go, I want two or more, because I want Jesus infused into every part of my life. Hello? I want a yes and amen. Amen. Let me finish up, and then we'll pray and allow the Lord to just really continue to minister. And stick around if you need extra prayer for anything. You know, Pentecost, Mark, was a world-changing event. For the first time in history, God began to do what he had promised through Joel, empowering all different sorts of people for ministry. Whereas in the Old Testament, the Spirit was poured out almost exclusively on prophets, priests, and kings. But in the age of the New Testament, in the age of grace, the age of the church, the Spirit would be given to all people. All would be empowered to minister regardless of their gender, their age, or their social position. I don't know if you realize that or not, but until the church was birthed, even being a woman, you were considered lesser than a person, property, pretty much. That's not true. And that wasn't true. That's not true today. That's not how it is today. And that's not how it was in the early church. Women had a vital impact on the body of Christ and still do to this day. That's the Holy Spirit's work. That's freedom. Hello? That's a good yes and amen. Yeah. Each of us need to ask, am I serving God through the power of the Holy Spirit? Am I exercising the gifts that God has given me through the power of the Holy Spirit, both in the organized body of believers and even in me as an individual, out being salt and light in a dark and a decaying world? Hello? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your love for us. Thank you that your love for me, your love for us, isn't just about me, isn't just about us. It's so that we can give it, so that we can express it, we can display it for others to see. And that's all we want to do, is bring glory to you, Jesus. Lifting you up, Jesus, so that others may see you, Jesus, and be drawn into your presence and be drawn into your kingdom, into complete and full abundant salvation. In Jesus' name, use us as you see fit. Bless us with your Holy Spirit as we worship you, as we do your work, and as we are your work. Anoint us, fill us full and fresh every single second, every second, so that those who are lost would be found. Those who are dying would come to life. Those who are without would have. And those who are thirsty would be able to drink to where they would thirst no more. Those who are hungry would be filled. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.